come on in, sit right down. Keep your hands up, keep your chin down. Shut the door, time to go with Randy Harrison, Knockout Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, Knockout Radio with Randy Harris is about to start. So get ready for the best MMA talk, games, interviews, surprises, and surprises anywhere for Knockout Radio. I'm the voice, Ray Flores, and now here's Knockout Radio.
Hey-o. Hey, everybody.
What is going on, everybody? It is another Wednesday action-packed show today. Coming up momentarily, Michelle Watterson, who is running around the Tampa Bay area promoting the upcoming UFC coming to Tampa. Tickets go on sale Friday. And yes, another week of you can win them before you can buy them. Ryan Bader, your champ. Johnny Bedford, the double champ. Is he a double champ or just a champ that's holding two different belts? That's a question for you, Matt. No, Matt must not be there. So that's the plan. Michelle Watterson momentarily. Ryan Bader. Did you check, and Matt, if you're listening, or I don't know what you're doing, did you see Ryan Bader on Celebrity Family Feud? His answer, forget the host's name. I can't even think of his name right now, but he's like, that is the greatest answer. I don't care if it's up there or not. That should be number one, et cetera, et cetera. So Steve Harvey. So Ryan Bader coming up, we'll talk about that. His defense coming up momentarily, a couple weeks away with Chuck Congo. And then Johnny Bedford, who will be on the Tampa card for bare knuckle fighting. And then I heard that they were going to attempt to move the bare knuckle to possibly being closer to the UFC. It looks like it's not going to work out. They will stay with the 19th. And it's going to be an action-packed October, that's for sure. So you have World Class Fight League, you have the UFC, and then you have bare knuckle. And imagine that, 2 minutes late, but you're finally there.
I'm here. Hey.
Do you not own a watch?
No, I just have a technical difficulty with my headset. I don't know. I'm not a tech guy. You know, like you're the brains behind this operation.
Thank God we're not relying on you. Tell me what's going on. And did our president try to buy Greenland for the U.S., or did he try to buy it for his own personal use?
I don't know. I have no idea what's going on with that. I heard it. I thought it was a joke. And then apparently it's for sale. So I don't know if they're trying to sell it as bad as he wants to buy it.
Well, I didn't think that it was for sale, but he's trying to buy it.
I don't know. I mean, he should be careful. Another island with, that's what Jeffrey Epstein had. He had an island.
Yeah, well. The XFL made an announcement today. I don't know if you heard.
Who did?
The XFL. Thanks for tuning in.
Oh, yeah. They have eight teams, but no names, right?
Well, no. Tampa Bay has a name.
Oh, what is it?
They are called the Tampa Bay Vipers.
What?
Why is that funny?
The diapers?
Vipers with a V.
Oh, I thought you said the diapers because they're just, you know.
God, you are off. This is your last program. Just
it's so. Not. It's not.
It needs to be.
The Vipers, but we don't have Vipers. Do we have any Vipers here? Aren't sports teams supposed to be representative of like the area they are? Like the Tampa Bay Lightning, because we're the lightning capital of the world. The Buccaneers, because of the Pirates and the Caribbeans. I don't know.
The Buccaneers because of the Caribbean.
Yeah, I don't know. But don't, like, aren't you supposed to have us, it's representative of, like, animals, like the Gators. Obviously, we're in Florida. No, there are no Vipers here.
So, they should have been the Tampa Bay Crocodiles?
Or, like, the Tampa Bay Tarpons or, you know, like the, like, Dolphins.
Your analogy is awful.
I don't know. What do you want to, it should be something, like, native to this area. Right?
Well, no, because it's not politically correct to do anything native.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. You definitely don't get in trouble with that.
Something that we will talk about probably in the second hour, Did you see how many fighters broke the weight gain allotment that they're allowed to gain after weigh-ins end the fight?
I did not.
Yeah. So we'll talk about that in the second hour. There's a lot of stuff that we're going to talk about in the second hour. Buccaneer news. Mike Evans will not play on Friday. So typically, week three is where you load up. That's where you get everybody ready.
Sure.
Mike Evans is a little dinged up. I don't think these guys should really play any preseason games. Could you imagine if you had a preseason fight?
Oh, well, I mean, I think a fight camp is preseason. I mean, a lot of guys get injured before a fight in training camp because of, like, how intense it gets up to the fight.
Oh, it happens all the time.
Yeah. I mean, you gotta get your body game ready, right? I mean, they got to go through it.
I still think a camp is different, you know, than a game. You know what I mean? So a game is different. You know, a preseason game. I mean, you're out there practicing, but I don't necessarily think you need a preseason game. I don't think you need a spring training game.
Well, I think it's different because in the NFL, for example, the preseason, these guys are fighting for a roster spot. You know, a lot of these are undecided positions that these guys are putting their heart and soul into to earn a place on a team. So I think it's more relevant here, and then they need to play those games out as opposed to like someone getting hurt in a training camp when it's just that one individual going into the octagon.
What are your thoughts on Jerry Jones and what he said? And you know, his comment was, I earned the right. I think he said, I earned the right to be able to joke around when he said Zeke who.
He's an old school dude. He's an old school guy. And today's political correctness doesn't allow anyone to do anything insensitive or does he have the right to do it? Yeah, sure. I mean, he should, but you know, people have the right to hate him and trash him and not support his team.
Well, I mean, you have the right to do almost anything that's legal. Well, and again, you already brought up Epstein, so
yeah.
I guess you have the right whether it's legal or not. But
I guess he's selling his island. You want to buy it, Randy? Make it the Knockout Island. We could have our own Survivor Series.
Yeah, but it would be the Knockout Radio Island, not the Knockout Island.
Well, I think he knocked people out there.
you're going to get us in trouble, so stop. you need to stop. So what's going on? What's new? What's up in Tampa as I am not there? I am broadcasting live from the national headquarters. The global headquarters for Staff Zone opens up shortly. So what's going on back
is
in
that,
the home?
Is that where you're broadcasting from?
I am.
Wow. They've got like a Hubble telescope thing at the top layer of that place, right?
I'm not sure that it has been included yet, but yes, it will be going up
shortly. An incredible structure.
You would be very impressed with what I did, what I was willing to. I was willing to die today, just so you know.
What?
I was.
Really? What? Yeah.
Well, I guess I should rephrase it. Not willing to die, because it's like what I always complain about when fighters say I'm willing to die in the cage. And I said, no, you're not. You may die, but you're not willing to die. So
right.
I wasn't willing to die on the plane today, but I was aware that it could possibly happen today.
Really? And you were okay with that? Yeah, if it happened, you were okay with it.
Let me tell you what happened, what I did, and I'm not exaggerating, nothing. I even tweeted a photo just in case something happened. I wanted, hopefully somebody would have been smart enough to see the photo, see a photo of a guy that I just tweeted that said, just because. So this guy was acting really strange getting ready to get on the plane.
Okay.
Walking around like he was lost. Walking around like he'd never flown before. You know, and I'm confused that people have never flown before. I know that they haven't.
Right.
I know that there are people that have never flown.
Of course.
All right. So he's walking around. He walks to the other side. You know, at the gates, it's like there's two gates together. So I'm on Northeast Airlines, so you know who I'm on.
Right.
and he walks over to gate, like say we're at gate 37. He walks over to gate 38, gets in line like he's already asked which plane is to Atlanta, which was gate 36.
Okay.
So now they're boarding gate 37. He walks over to 37 and tries to get on the plane. And they politely said, sir, Atlanta is gate 36. So then he walks back over there. Now, I'm the first one to get on. Walks right up to the gate teller, the ticket teller, the ticket agent, whatever, to get on. And he had the wrong boarding pass. So he was flying Tampa to Atlanta, Atlanta to Philadelphia.
Okay.
Okay. So that enabled me to get on the plane first. So I walk on. I sit in the seat, you know, that I want to sit in. He comes on a couple people later. And he said, I'm bulkhead. So I'm bulkhead aisle. He's on the other bulkhead aisle. Okay.
So right across from you.
Right across from me.
Okay.
13 seconds after he gets on the plane, he's trying to take a picture. And he's waiting as people are walking by. And he keeps getting up. He keeps trying to take a picture. What do you think he took a picture of?
The cockpit.
The cockpit.
Oh.
So he takes a picture of the cockpit. And then I see him text it. And then I see him stare at the photo.
Oh.
And I later told the flight attendant that I haven't looked at pictures of my family as alive as long as he looked at that picture of the cockpit.
Wow. That's a no-no, right? I mean, that's got to be against some kind of regulation, right?
Well, you would kind of think that they would shut the door, too.
Yeah. I mean, right? But yeah. I mean, a lot of times they put the little kid in there and they take a little... You know, I'll tell you.
There was really nobody around. So I'm really feeling uncomfortable. And I'm kind of like looking to my left and I'm watching them. Then I went up and I said something to the flight attendant. I said, there's something really strange about this guy. She looked at me. I explained what happened. And she said, yeah, he does look a little. She went in and talked to the captain. The captain came out and he walked row one, row two, row three, asking everybody, are you okay? Is everything all right? Blah, 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 blah. Kind of just to get a gauge, I'm sure.
Sure. But
I watched this guy. I even told the flight attendant, I'm not sleeping. I was planning on sleeping on the plane. I was prepared. I was prepared. I sent a text to Defiant Daniel thanking him because whatever I was going to do was because of the training that I did with him. I know this sounds stupid, but when he got up and went to the bathroom, I got up and stood there at the door.
Did you really?
I did. I truly.
Do you expect him to have a box cutter in his hand?
I wasn't sure what he was going to have. Wow. But like I told my brother and everybody up here, you know, in Atlanta, one of two things was going to happen. I was going to be the first one to die, or I was going to be a hero because I was going to take him out. But I truly, and I'm not blowing smoke, I'm not telling stories, I truly thought there was something strange. And that I was going to have to throw down and, you know, throw an arm bar or kick to the groin, the illegal groin strike or something. I was ready to go. I truly was ready to go. And then they thanked me as I got off the plane, you know, which was cool. It would have been, gave me a voucher for, I don't know, a free flight. But
did you call Steven Seagal and thank him for all the training he gave you?
I did. You know, I was ready. The upkick, thanks to Steven Seagal. Did you ever see the picture of Steven Seagal?
No.
You haven't seen it?
No.
All right, I will find it. It's either on the website, the Book of Face, one of them. He was at I think it was an Anderson Silva fight in Canada. Could have been Toronto, it was either Toronto or Montreal. So
Canada, both in Canada.
Yeah, it was definitely in Canada. So Greg Hendrick, who is one of our Las Vegas correspondents, you know, says, hey, do you want to get a photo? And, you know, I'm always cautious about, you know, I don't want to be, you know, Matt McClellan and be a tool. I don't want to get photos. But, you know, occasionally there's certain photos that would be cool for the website.
Sure.
When you see this photo, you will swear on 10 slices of pepperoni pizza that it is not him, that it's a figure.
Really? Looks like a wax figure or something?
He looks like a wax, you know, just the way he's standing and, you know, he didn't move. He didn't move
before. didn't breathe.
it definitely was absolutely crazy. You know who else didn't move?
No.
Daniel Cormier.
Yeah, he didn't. He didn't get away from those liver shots and those left hands.
You know, in the corner screaming. I'm sure fans of his screaming, you know. What happened to the wrestling? You know, this goes back to our good friend, George Gagel. Go ahead.
Jorge.
Yeah, George Gagel, who didn't want to use his black belt in jiu-jitsu in fights. He wanted to prove a point. He wanted to win standing wanted to beat Stipe again the same way that he beat him the first time. That
because he had an ego involved. His ego got in the way.
It does. It did.
He wanted to knock him out. He got tired of, like everybody saying, he got lucky and it's a lucky punch. And, you know, he had a vendetta to prove that he could knock out Stipe again. And then, you know, it backfired. Obviously, the left hands crippled him. And then now, you know, people are calling Stipe the GOAT in the heavyweight division. People like John Jones.
I don't know. I don't know.
It's hard to argue. I mean, what, second time as a heavyweight champ, defended it, what, four times or three times?
Here's my two questions. One, why does it make Stipe the GOAT? Now they're 1-1. So if Cormier jumped to the supposed GOAT because he beat Stipe, now that they're 1-1, how does one leapfrog the other? And that's why I'm convinced, and being around enough of these fighters and, you know, the return of BJ Penn and Matt Hughes and all those guys who walk away but can't walk away, I believe there will be a third fight.
Really? You think Cormier is coming back?
I do. I don't think that he'll be able to. And that's what they all say. And that's what Matt said. And that's what BJ has said. I couldn't walk away with that fight. You know, and before the accident, Matt was coming back again. And we've talked about that. You know, he was going to return and fight again. And it's what's in their blood. It's what they do. Sure. And so I think even though Cormier has all these other opportunities, you know, everything that he's doing now, the bigger role on ESPN and his segment that he's doing, I think he will return. I think he'll fight one more time. And I think he'll try. He will stick to the game plan of takedown, wrestling, laying on top of him, you know, whatever he needs to do.
Well, he dominated that first round on the ground. I mean, Stipe had no answer for his wrestling, you know, and nobody has yet. I mean, Cormier is a top-level wrestler. It was shocking to me that he didn't go back to that bread and butter. I kind of thought he, you know, round two, round three, he still wanted to get the knockout if he could, because he was landing punches and Stipe was getting beat up.
Yep.
But I was just waiting for him to shoot, take him down, just finish it whenever he wanted to, and that didn't happen.
You know, and one of the fallacies, and the scorecard has been released, and, you know, people put it out on the Twitter machines and books of faces and all that kind of stuff. A lot of people thought Stipe won or Stipe lost the first three rounds, and he didn't. He won round three. So, not that that changes it, but, you know, if you go DC won the first three rounds and then this happened, or if you look at he won the first two rounds, lost the third, and then, of course, this happened in the fourth, you know, not that it changes things, but like you said, ego gets in the way. And you know who is a bona fide gangster?
George Mostoval?
Nate Diaz.
He is a needle mover.
Nate Diaz. And what he said, and of course, we have to be very careful because we can't say the things that he said.
Right. Yeah, we're not Nate Diaz.
But, you know, he's going to defend the belt. Did you see the interview after and the belt and what the belt's called? And there's only person, you know, that he can defend it against. And then when Joe said, well, you know, you've been gone for 3 years, and it's because he's like, that's because there's nobody worth fighting.
Yeah. No, I like it. I thought the best thing, the meme that's going around is he's like, in school, I got in trouble. Yeah. You know, I got kicked out of school for fighting and selling drugs. And here I am, you know, getting paid at the top level to fight and sell CBD. Yep. Look, you got to love his authenticism. What do you call that?
Authenticity.
That's it. No, I think he's a real guy. I think he speaks the way he speaks, and he doesn't candy coat anything. And I don't think it's an act. Like, a lot of these guys are actors. Right. But this guy is, I feel like he's legit. He's paid his dues. He's earned his stripes. And he should get the next fight that he wants.
You know, and it is true. You know, I've had the opportunity to be with Nate. I've had the opportunity to be with Nick. And, you know, we kind of talked about, you know, everybody has always disliked that they dislike their opponent. And they've always said, I don't want to like the guy that I'm going to fight. You know, why do I want to hang out with him? Why do I want to be not? I don't want anything to do with them. Maybe after the fight, well, you know, you saw how they went out, you know, after, you know, Nate went over and, you know, checked on Anthony and shook his hand and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I like him. I like watching it. I think it adds a great deal.
Is he as big as McGregor? Is he a needle mover like McGregor at this point?
No. No, close. Well,
what does he have to do? What does he have to do to become McGregor?
Rob a bank naked.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think. Well, there is nobody that's a Conor McGregor right now.
Because McGregor's the country of Ireland is talking about, you know, turning their back against McGregor, their hometown hero, because of the way he knocked out or punched an elderly man in a bar because the guy said his whiskey was crap.
Hold on. He didn't knock out anybody.
He punched.
He punched a guy, and the guy didn't even move.
Right. The guy's Irish. What do you expect?
Right, exactly.
He's been drinking. He's drinking at an Irish bar, and but you know, like, he turned on his own people. You know, a lot of people, they're throwing out the whiskey in the bars. Like, the people aren't supporting his brand. They're not getting behind him anymore. And how much do we know in the history that the nationality and the pride of your nation and the backing of your people is really what I think put him on the map initially, because the country got behind him and built him up.
The country will still be behind him. And if half of what I've been told, without the country behind him, he would be in a much worse situation than he's in now, allegedly, from what I was told. But when I was in Dublin, I asked a lot of people, now this was a few years ago, about Conor. And there was just as many people told me they didn't like him as they told me they did like him. But, you know, a lot of the Irish didn't like, you know, what he was, you know, putting out there. And this was before he even did go off the deep end. This is before Brooklyn. This is before Miami and Vegas and the stuff in Ireland. And, you know, so, but that's anywhere. You know, people here in the States, you know, a lot of people like Antonio Brown. A lot of people don't. A lot of people like Ocho Cinco. A lot of people don't. But one thing that people do like is when we both get silent and we run to a break. So let's go do that. We are still trying to find Michelle Waterson running around doing a lot of Tampa Bay media, getting ready for ticket sales that start on Friday. But we will give away a pair again today. Win them before you can buy them right here on Knockout Radio, brought to you by Ape Man Strong and Staff Sub. We'll be right back.
Is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
It's Chuck the Iceman Liddell, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
Ape Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are Ape Man Strong.
What were you doing 10 years ago? For me, I founded the Tour de Pizza, Tampa Bay's only cycling-themed pizzeria, where we combine gourmet pizza with an active lifestyle. Home of the world-famous pizza diet? At Tour de Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. Classic New York style, Chicago deep dish, whole wheat low carb, flaxseed millet grain-free, and cauliflower crust, to name a few. Proudly serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the past decade and running. Two locations, one great pizza. That's Tour de Pizza.
UFC heads back to Tampa on Saturday, October 12th with Joanna Jędrzejczyk facing Michelle Waterson. See UFC Fight Night at Amalie Arena. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
Join the Humane Society of Tampa Bay on October 12th for their signature Black Tie Gala featuring adoptable pets, silent auction, cocktail hour with complimentary wine and beer, dinner and dessert, live entertainment, after party with dancing and cigar bar by the Riverwalk, and much, much more. Make sure to secure your spot now. Sponsorship opportunities and tickets sell out early. Buy tickets and learn more about our sponsorship opportunities at TuxesTalesTampa.com.
Three vehicles, six competitions, where every athlete is in it to win it. Monster Jam Triple Threat Series. Presented by official partners America's Best Contacts and Eyeglasses, Metro by T-Mobile, and 1-800-ASK-GARY. Get your buy three tickets, get one free savings coupon from participating Metro by T-Mobile locations. Restrictions and exclusions may apply. See savings coupon for details. Don't miss this live event that's fun for all ages. Coming to Emily Arena August 24th.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is Franco Harris with Randy Harris on Knockout Radio.
All right, we are back coming to you live, at least one of us, from the international headquarters of StaffZone in Alpharetta, Georgia, soon to be relocating to the global headquarters right down the road. I neglected. We should have started the show with a little RIP for Cedric Benson. Did you see that?
I did. NFL running back.
Yep.
36 years of age.
Just goes to show. You know, I mean, take every day, enjoy every day. And then, of course, it caused a big sandstorm of people then saying about riding motorcycles, and our good friend Styles G. White, who took offense by it. He's like, why are you telling me to be careful? Why are you telling me not to ride a motorcycle? I didn't even know. I said, because we care for you, dude.
I mean, I think every motorcyclist, they assume the risk. I mean, they know it's a dangerous vehicle. They know it's not safe. They know that a lot of distracted drivers. And I think everybody who is on a motorcycle accepts the idea or the thought of today may be my last ride. Unfortunately, that's just the way it is.
If anybody really, truly thinks that when they're riding a motorcycle, then they are a knucklehead. Truly. I mean, I know it goes back to the I'm not willing to die, but I know that I could die. If you really believe that you could die today riding a motorcycle, you really shouldn't be riding it, in my opinion.
Yeah, but you can't live life in fear, and you got to enjoy your life.
I'm going to enjoy my life not being on a motorcycle.
You almost didn't make it on a plane.
No, I made it on a plane. I almost didn't make it off.
Right. On 9/11, hundreds of people got on a plane intending to land and never happened. So,
but there's
Hold
on a second. There's a big difference between what you just said and what you said about the motorcycle. I'm sure those people who got on a plane on 9/11 never thought the plane wouldn't land.
True, but there's a lot of people that think that the big metal tin can shouldn't be flying in the air anyway. So why get on that death machine or the death trap? Because it's prone to crash at some point. Just like Earnhardt Jr. crashed this week.
God, and it's a miracle how they all walked away.
Unbelievable. Give that pilot a raise.
Or buy a new plane.
Yeah, or take the bus like John Candy.
Not sure. No, it was John Madden.
John Madden. One of those guys.
Did you see, and I know you got some story you're going to bore us with here in a second, but MMA in China, you're not allowed to display tattoos?
That's just ridiculous, and I'm boycotting China.
So now you're not going to go fight in China?
I'm not fighting in China. I refuse to fight in China, but I will be fighting November 16th, hopefully.
Hopefully. I'm working on it if you'd stay out of it.
I'm out of it. Be my agent. Hook it up, brother.
Well, don't say that.
Oh.
Terry. All right, so what's your boring story? Ryan Bader coming up in about 13 minutes. We got a hold of the UFC. We're moving Michelle, who's running a little bit late on her media obligations. She'll be on at the bottom of the next hour.
She's in Tampa doing media.
Yeah, thanks for tuning in. I've already said it twice.
I think she should come by here. Like, we go way back. I think she was in Denver when I was there.
Next.
I'm just saying. Ronda Rousey. Did you see Ronda Rousey?
Is this your story?
Yeah.
No, you said you have a story. Is this your story?
This is her story.
Okay. How long is the story going to take?
How long do you want it to take?
5 minutes. Let me take a quick nap.
Perfect. Ronda Rousey. Boat door never nearly severs her finger shooting the 911 scene. So Ronda Rousey, decorated UFC champion, Hall of Famer, turned WWE entertainer star, turned actor or actress, and has the most brutal injury of her career.
Wasn't she an actress before she turned WWE? I think she was. Wasn't she in, was it Fast and the Furious or Invincibles or one of those before? So she was an actress before she joined the WWE to be an actress.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's crazy that this is like the most gruesome injury of her career. And unless she was acting when Holly Holm kicked her in the head.
That was no act.
Okay. Well, then she wasn't acting. So she was not an actress.
Did you see NXT just signed? And they're now going to be broadcasting on Wednesdays.
Really?
Which I like. I've always said that the WWE and, you know, even NFL and MMA and the UFC and Strikeforce and Bellator and Bare Knuckle and all that, if you know the name, you'll tune in. And when they slowly infiltrate and bring in, you know, these new up-and-coming wrestlers, well, now NXT will be on TV. So the hardcore fans are going to, they already know who these people are. But if you're watching Monday and Tuesday, you'll watch NXT on Wednesday. At least I will, to look for Tino Sabatini, better known as Sabu Piscitelli. And one of these days, he's going to get a shot. He's going to end up in the big leagues at the WWE level.
Yeah, that's your boy. So I've never seen you run over and like get so excited to see somebody as you did at the Bare Knuckle 6 in Tampa with your boy Piscitelli.
Piscitelli, not Kiss Piscitelli.
I mean, the way you ran over to him, I thought you were going to kiss.
I wanted to get over because before the fight, I wanted to go over, say hi real quick, and then get back to what I was doing. You know, I didn't want to, you know, run out there and then a fight start. Not sure they know. I know that I don't know, but Johnny Bedford, who will be on in the official BKFC segment coming up next hour, he will be back on the Tampa card.
Oh, nice.
You know who else will be on the UFC card on October 12th?
Johanna?
Max Payne.
Oh, Max Griffin coming back.
Yep.
The Tour de Pizza will be ready for those guys.
You know who else will be on that card?
Michelle Watterson.
Yes, but your Alabama Crimson Tide, Eric Anders.
Oh, nice. Eric coming back.
Yep. So I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to not having to travel. I may still go to Boston. I mean, I think that's the next week. But no, I can't because the next week's Bare Knuckle. I got to look at a schedule before I say I'm going somewhere.
Yeah, stay put. They'll all come here.
I guess Dan Hardy is re-entering USADA. Did you see that?
No.
And that goes back to what I said about Cormier. So Dan Hardy hasn't fought in how long? You just can't go away. Whatever you do. You know, if I was to quit radio today, I'd come back. Because what else? What am I going to do?
Yeah, I mean.
I got to watch over you.
Sitting down, talking, watching TV. I mean, what else are you going to do? I mean, you have literally every day of your week is planned by a television program. Monday Night Football, and then Raw, and then Tuesday is a Dana White Contender Series. Now Wednesday, NXT. Thursday, football. Friday, Bellator, Saturday, UFC, Bare Knuckle. Well, you got enough time, Randy.
All right, so now let me ask you a serious question.
Okay.
Of all of those things you said, how many do you think I watch?
I mean, I know I've seen your man cave. I know you got multiple screens. You got two eyes. So, I mean, the multiple times two carry the one. I'm going to say six.
Yeah, probably not. I'm not sure. Monday Night Football. I leave the press box, from doing the player show. I go home and I throw on Raw. I see what's going on with Raw. Depending on who's playing on Monday, I may not even put the game on. Then depending on who it is, I could just flip it on just to see the score, and then I go back to Raw. So that throws out Monday Night Football. Thursday, if Big Brother's on, yeah, I'm probably watching that.
Oh, really? You're a Big Brother guy.
I haven't enjoyed this season, got to be honest with you.
Okay.
But yeah, no, I typically watch BB. So I watch enough of that. So give me your thoughts on that 13 fighters that broke the weight rules last weekend.
I don't know much about it. As far as like what they're doing over in China or in Asia, as far as like water testing, you know, to get fighters to fight more at their natural weight, so there's not these big drastic weight cuts.
Promotions are not doing waterboarding.
No, not waterboarding. I mean, I think that's more for like interrogation. But aren't they doing like the water hydration test over in China and Asia? That's make it so it's not so dangerous for the fighters to cut weight and be so drastic, and then not give them such a huge competitive edge if they do make the weight. You know, like some of these guys coming down to. I think Anthony Grumble Johnson. I think he fought at 170 at one point.
All right. Let me give you some of the numbers from last Saturday.
Okay.
Paulo Costa weighed in at 186 and ended up at 213. Almost 214.
That's a huge weight swing.
Romero weighed in at 184.5, fought at 207. Benitez weighed in at 146, fought at 164. Brunson weighed in at 186, fought at almost 205. Rafael weighed in at 136, fought at 153. Brandon Davis weighed in at 136, put on 20 pounds, fought at 156. Manny Bermudez weighed in at 140, fought at 165. But it's an unwritten rule. It was the state of California instituted that weight gain restriction, but I guess it's not. It's like, this is what we'd like to see. Make it a rule. If it's not a rule, don't bother me with it. You know what I mean?
No, of course. I mean that's why it says here, one of the titles on the Google search says, here's how one championship abolished weight cutting in MMA by using the water hydration testing. You know, so it's keeping the fighters from doing that, from getting those huge advantages. It ultimately will change the sport. If guys have to fight at their natural weight, natural genetics, and closer to their natural walking around weights, it's definitely going to change, the classes and the fighters and who they line up against. Because we got Michael Chiesa fighting down to 170 or even 155. Look how big he is. He's a monster compared to Diego Sanchez. He just manhandled him. There was no skill or athleticism there. That was just pure size.
Well, there was some athleticism, but here's from the state of California at the bottom of where it showed, what they weighed in and what they fought at. It says the restrictions is an attempt to have fighters compete near their natural weight class by not allowing a weight gain of more than 10%. Here's the best part of the whole line. You ready?
Sure.
There is no fine or sanction in place for those who go over.
Okay. Right. So there's no penalty if you do. Yeah, so
you get a stern warning. If you do this again, young man, I'm going to have your father speak to you. 10%, come in at 9.5.
Well, what these fighters are doing is they're using the old bodybuilding techniques to use starvation methods and dehydration methods to make a certain weight class or goal, and then they run the risk that when they go and fill out like they do, they weigh in on Friday. Then they go out and pig out or eat, carbs or carb loading is what they call it. Then they run the risk of cardiovascular failure. That's why bodybuilders die in between the morning show and the night show, is they're so malnutrition that when they reintroduce all that food and all that potassium, the potassium actually dries out their heart and they go into cardiac arrest. So, in fact, I think a female bodybuilder just passed away in Tampa a month ago from the same kind of issue. So, these guys are fighting at the highest level to be the most conditioned athlete, fighting physically against another human. It's tough, man. I think for the safety of the sport, for the safety of the fighters, they should bring in a hydration testing and make these fighters fight at their natural weight.
No, I'm all for it. I agree. You know, and I just read something similar to what you were just explaining. Everybody, you know, that's doing the keto, the Atkins, you know, which is pretty similar. And then I read up on it because I've been trying to do keto and I have lost some weight on it. But, you know, I have some friends of mine that have been on it say that they go and they cheat once a week or whatever. So I Googled it, you know, Dr. Google, and it says that you can damage, you know, yourself by doing that, by cheating, because you're making your body accustomed to not, and then you're like slapping it real quick with, you know, a whole bunch of carbs and whatever, and then you're going back to no carbs again, and you could be doing damage to yourself for that, you know. So no matter what you do, there's damage. So I decided I was going to try. It's not the Impossible Burger, but it's something very similar.
Okay.
Which honestly, it wasn't awful.
So it's not a meat base. It's like a plant based to make it look like,
right,
meat.
Exactly. And then I saw on one of them, social media, where a doctor ripped and said any doctor who would promote eating, you know, this plant-based with everything that's in the plant and all that kind of stuff should have their medical license revoked. So it doesn't matter what you do. There's pros and cons. There's negatives. There's positives. So it really doesn't matter. So, yeah, you're right. Just ride your motorcycle.
Just eat what you want to eat, ride what you want to ride, and if a creepy guy gets on your plane, jump off.
No, I surprised myself because for a second I thought about getting off. You know, I truly did. That's how creepy it was. But I was ready to throw down, you know, which really surprises me. So I'm going to get back in the gym and get prepared.
You're a drink killer, Randy Harris.
I was, yeah, it was bad news. It could have been bad news.
Yeah.
So Champ coming up any minute now.
The whole show's about Champs. I mean, everybody's got two belts. I got two mission belts.
I don't know how you weaseled out of the second one. How did you pull it? Oh, that's right. The belt doesn't fit. I cut it too small.
That's what happened.
Isn't that what you told them?
Well, I just gained a bunch of weight because I wasn't eating keto or pizza. So I didn't fit into the first belt.
So what'd you do with the first belt? Your daughter's using it?
Yeah, I'm waiting until I lose some weight, and then I'll wear it again.
You ain't losing weight.
I'm gonna start. I got a fight camp coming up. I gotta get ready. I'm throwing fisticuffs with some celebrity. I'm not gonna lose. I can't lose. Got the Knockout Radio on my back. I can't let you guys down.
Yeah, but you can't lose weight if you're gonna fight Rumble Johnson.
Oh well, I got to be a lot faster than that guy. I mean, you know, I can't just stand there and like throw hands. I gotta stick and move and. Look, here's what I'm thinking.
Right,
Tampa.
Hold on a second. First of all, there'll be no sticking. There'll be plenty of moving.
No, but I have it all figured out. So Tampa is a city with five letters, and it starts with the letter T. Tokyo is a city, five letters, starts with letter T. Do you know what happened in Tokyo, Randy Harris?
Yeah, I had a great time there.
Buster Douglas knocked out Mike Tyson. So under those criteria, I think I have a chance.
The only chance we have is depending on who I match you up against.
Well, you said Anthony Rumble Johnson. That's who I'm training for. That's who I got a photo of him. I've got the video call out of my phone saved. I got a photo of him on my mirror in my bathroom. So I wake up, I see his face, and I'm training. I was at the gym at 5 a.m. yesterday. I'm ready for this thing. I'm ready.
Okay. Let me pretend like I like you.
Okay.
So I say this from the deepest bottom, top, and sides of my heart.
Yes.
You couldn't beat Anthony Johnson if he was laying in a coma.
You don't know that.
I do know that.
That's hype. That's speculation.
That's true.
Actually, we can ask Ryan Bader because Anthony Johnson beat Bader. So maybe he can give me some tips on like what I can do differently.
Yeah. I'm turning your mic off when Ryan's on.
He also beat Gustafson, who I think is the only person to ever beat John Jones.
Well, he didn't. Have you seen the scorecard?
I saw the scorecard, but I watched the fight, and I have a different interpretation.
Yeah, but which means nothing.
Well, if I was a judge, it would mean everything.
If candies and acorns and, you know, whatever, we'd all be something. So who knows?
But yeah, yeah, well, he lost twice to Cormier. So, yeah, Anthony Rumble Johnson is an equal opponent for me, I believe.
It's truly not. The only way that would be a fair competitive fight And I don't believe in, you know, fighting with one hand tied behind your back. I don't think that's fair. Anthony would need to have both hands tied behind his back.
No, headbutting's not allowed.
I understand. No headbutting, no kicking. He can't throw punches, and I'm still going to put money on him to win.
You got no faith in your boy.
That's correct.
I'm ready. I'm fighting. I got fight camp. I'm dropping weight. I'm wearing my mission belt. I got the double belt champs.
Hold on a second. You're going to wear your mission belt?
That's what we're fighting for. If Diaz is fighting for the Baddest Mo champ belt, then I'm fighting for the mission belt.
Why would you fight for it when you already have it?
Well, I'm going to put it on the line. I'm willing to risk it all.
I saw that on last night, the Miz thing, where Miz lost his wife's belt. But enough about you, enough about the Miz. We'll talk about that later. I'm turning your mic down. You're gone. Let's go out west and talk to the champ. I need to talk some family feud with our buddy Ryan Bader. Ryan, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Not too bad. Let's get right into it. I want to know why you were the fifth person in line. How come we couldn't move you up, like stand between Randy and Chuck?
That's what I was thinking, too. And then when you're down there, you get all the, you know, your answers are all taken and you get the bottom of the barrel.
Exactly. But even more, and this is what I thought, and I'm going to be serious here, not being able to go up to hit the buzzer had to be kind of a letdown.
Yeah, no, I was ready to do it because I was next in line, and right. I was thinking we were going to go do it, and then it was like, nah, it's pretty. It was a letdown, but it was fun, you know, doing something different like that. We all had fun, and then we were all with each other, you know, a couple hours before the game show, so it was all a good time.
Obviously, you've done a lot of radio. I mean, you're a professional fighter. You've been in front of crowds, you know, all that kind of stuff. But was it a different kind of adrenaline? Was it a different kind of pressure, you know, having, 3 seconds to make an answer?
Oh, yeah. You know, it's almost like you can't think, you know, because you have the crowd there. You know you're on TV, you know you stay, he'll be there forever, you know. And so, and then on top of that, you have some weird questions and weird answers at the same time, too. You know, they're not, the questions we had were definitely out there a little bit. So you have to process all of that, you know, within, like you said, 3 seconds or so.
Did you think, and I'm not going to necessarily say that it was a strange question or really a strange answer, but did you think when you gave your answer that we all have now seen that, A, it's going to live on forever and that they're going to use that tag probably to promote Celebrity Family Feud from here on out?
It was one of those things where, you know, I kind of have that sense of humor anyway, and right. I was like, I want to say it. Like, right when I heard it, I was like, oh, that's the easy one. But then I was like, you know, I'm wondering if it is a family show at the end of the day, but I've also heard some kind of risque kind of things on there. So just went for it and he liked it, you know, and then kind of went from there.
I would say it was more a family show back with, you know, Richard Dawson, you know, since, you know, Steve Harvey's been on it. It's been a little out there a little bit. So what did your wife think about the answer?
She's used to it. She thought it was funny, you know, so... I haven't asked my parents or anything yet, but we all have a good sense of humor, so they don't mind it at all. They know what they get from me.
It was definitely a lot of fun to watch, and now you're only, a couple weeks away, you know, from your first defense. I remember not too long ago you were on the show saying you'd never won a belt. You've never, you know, had a title. Now you have two, and now it's time to defend it.
Yeah, I never had the opportunity ever in my career to fight for a belt. Even in the, you know, smaller organizations, I was jumping around, you know, had 6 fights pretty much all in different organizations, and then got on the Ultimate Fighter, ended up winning that, but never really had a chance to fight for any type of belt whatsoever. So, you know, now we got 2, I've already defended the light heavyweight belt, and now it's time to defend the heavyweight belt. So I don't think that's been done much, if at all, you know, defending them both simultaneously and having both of them and having them be defended.
Now that you have been there as the light heavyweight champ and it's not so new to you, you know, we always hear about, you know, it's harder to defend it than it is to win it because, you know, you get on the laurels, you don't maybe practice as much. Is it different? Has it been different to you in the past defending the light heavy and where are you, you know, in training wise to defend the heavyweight?
Yeah, I don't think it's any different. You know, I just kind of look at it as a fight in front of me, a guy that, you know, wants to beat me up and take what's mine and all that kind of good stuff. You know, those guys got to be obviously motivated. This is a time to fight for a title. So you have a target on your back for sure, especially when you have two of them, you know, two divisions, you know. So, but that doesn't change anything for me. We came off a big fight going with Fedor, you know, going through that tournament, the Grand Prix, winning that. People kind of ask, like, how is it going from that to, you know, you're defending it now? And obviously the Fedor fight was one of the biggest in my life. You know, it was a great time, won two belts. I got to fight Fedor, it was the finals of the tournament and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, I don't need any extra motivation when guys are trying to beat me up and take what's mine. So I'm feeling great. You know, we're 2.5 weeks out. Feel amazing, and we just kind of keep compounding on past training camp.
Known you a long time. I almost know the answer, but picking up new listeners all the time, and I'm sure they're curious about the answer. You know, when your opponent, and you know, there's been some things said, you know, to kind of entice the fight, you know, to get some media and to get some excitement on the fight, do you kind of block that out? Do you like responding? I know that you've been on Twitter and you respond from time to time as well. Do you like doing it? Is it part of the sport and the game, or would you just assume it go away?
Well, I'm not a huge shit talker, but at the same time, if I'm kind of dragged into it, I don't mind responding. You know, Chuck was kind of saying that I didn't deserve the belt. It was handed to me. Like, I didn't go win a Grand Prix tournament, you know, and beat some of the best to do it, you know. Tournament that he was not invited into, even though he was on a big winning streak, you know, so. And some of his stuff was just kind of dumb. But, you know, I get it. You got to kind of drum up some support for your own title shot. And I don't knock him for it. But, yeah, I'll respond if it's thrown at me. I'm not one to go out there looking for it at all, though.
Do you love the game? And I never know whether to call, you know, MMA a game or a sport. You know, it's a little of both. Do you love it as much today as you did back Ultimate Fighter days and even before then?
Yeah, you know, I do. I still have that same passion and all that. And I know, you know, I know now, obviously 35-something fights in, you know, what bullshit to cut out and all that kind of stuff too. I'm still extremely passionate about competing. You know, I love the feeling of, you know, attaining a goal, working hard towards that. I love the feeling of fight week, the nerves, all that stuff that goes along with it, and then you know, the feeling of victory afterwards, knowing that, you know, that you put in the work and it showed and all that kind of stuff, and definitely, you know, and obviously also, you know, you're as you progress, and I've been progressing, and, you know, became a champion, two division champion, all that, you know, financially that gets better also, you know. And so, you know, that's another part of the equation. Like, yes, you know, we're doing this because we love it, but at the same time, we also want to get paid for it and get paid our worth. So extremely happy right now, and that's kind of where we're at this point in my career.
Before I ask you what we can expect to see in a couple weeks, I just want to make sure everybody understood. You said bull stuff. That's what you said. It was bull stuff, just in case somebody wants to ask. Tell
Dude,
me
it was what?
Bull stuff when you said something different. You meant to say bull stuff.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
Right. Just, I wanted to make sure people knew that's what you said. It was bull stuff, that's all.
Yeah, well, are we on regular radio right now?
Yeah, we're real radio.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's what I said.
Oh, that's, thought so. Just making sure. Just making sure we're on the same. All right, so what should we expect to see in a couple of weeks? You're in the cage. Same old Ryan Bader. Wrestle, out-wrestle, throw punches. What else should we be looking for?
Yeah, you know, I kind of bring everything. You never know. I'm not one to say, predict or say, I'm going to go in there and do this, because you never know. You go in there and you feel it out. You know, obviously, you know, two out of my three last fights ended in both under a minute with one punch, you know, so that's always cool. But you can't expect that every time, and you can't rely on that as a fighter, because if you don't get that, then what happens, you know, so. I'm ready to go wherever it needs to go for me to get the win. I want to go out there and I want to finish him. I want it to be, you know, exciting fight, exciting finish and all that. But you never know when you're in there. You just kind of, you go by minute by minute, you know, round by round until the fight's over, or, you know, when, if you finish the fight, you know. And so it's one of those things where I'm prepared for anything. You know, he brings some different stuff into the cage, and, you know, I'm going to be, you know, same old me with some extra tools.
It's always good to say champ, champ. Ryan Bader, as always, thank you for your time, and let's talk again before the fight.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. That is Ryan Bader. He is your champ, champ. We are one down, one to go. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by Ape Man Strong and Staff Sub. Watching every move on her
face. She said, look, what's your game?
Hey, this is Uriah Faber, and you're listening to Talking Sports with Randy Harris.
Ape Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are Ape Man Strong.
What were you doing 10 years ago? For me, I founded the Tour de Pizza, Tampa Bay's only cycling-themed pizzeria, where we combine gourmet pizza with an active lifestyle. Home of the world-famous pizza diet? At Tour de Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. Classic New York style, Chicago deep dish, whole wheat low carb, flaxen millet grain free, and cauliflower crust to name a few. Proudly serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the past decade and running. Two locations, one great pizza, that's Tour de Pizza.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.